The Word of God is the seed containing the very life of God. It is His agent of transformation. As you receive these words in your heart with faith, that life is released into your spirit, and your life receives a supernatural lifting. Join Apostle Joshua Selman as he brings you God's Word with simplicity and power.
Thank you, Jesus. Manda Maria be Shabadi Arabaye. Hallelujah. We, the children of God, the saints of God, have a unique privilege. As the worship team was leading that song, I realize that we have been privileged to listen to the transactions of heaven. When you worship and you cry holy, you need to understand that that is the response of angelic beings to the revelation of the multifaceted dimensions of Yahweh. So we have the 24 elders. When they see a display of a particular dimension of God, they are compelled to remove their crowns, their accomplishments, their accolades, their status, because they are elders in the heavenly council, the parliament of eternity. So Koinonia gives us an opportunity to come before this great God, knowing fully well that whatever we have experienced and enjoyed and whatever He has given to us is but a fraction of His ability and His possibility. So now I want you to sing with a unique revelation. Whatever God has done, whatever God has not done, it doesn't change who He is and the potential and the possibility of His personality. So we are going to sing and say, Mando Baria Katayeha, joining the whole population of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And so, Heavenly Father, our Father of light, in whom is no shadow of turning or variableness, thank you for your manifest presence in our midst. Thank you for the great and mighty things you will do, for binding up the hearts of the brokenhearted, for setting free the captives, for preaching, ministering the gospel of your good news to the poor. For the great and mighty things that you are set to do, we say, be glorified now and evermore. Mighty Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we worship. Jam those hands together for this great God. Tell your neighbor, say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Have your seats in God's presence. Amen. Hallelujah. For those of you who haven't noticed, this is not Apostle Joshua Selman. It's always a privilege and an honor to stand before the saints and the body of Christ and to minister.
And for those of you who don't know, my name is Ejimi. And by the grace of God, I'll be sharing a few things. And that will bless our hearts and our lives. Amen. I want to say welcome to those who are listening through all our social media channels and those who are in the overflow. Overflow, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Very quickly today, I will be sharing a few things that will bless our lives and building in the spirit of what God's servant Apostle Joshua Selman, that great and humble servant of God, has been sharing in this season where we have been called to thrive. Amen. In this season where we have been called to ensure that the impact that we make and the mark that we leave on earth is a transgenerational mark. I tell people all the time, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his what? Children's. So the least level of impact is that your grandchildren, when they hear about their grandfather, they say, I thank God for my grandfather. Amen. Do you understand? Not the impact that your children will barely see. Talk about less of your children's children. That's our benchmark as a believer. That's your benchmark as a good man. I remember the last time I had the privilege to share one of the things that Moses said in the book of Psalm 90 was that let your walk appear to your servants and the glory of that walk appear to his children. So we need to benchmark our walk with God. We need to benchmark the fruit that we produce as believers. Will it stand the test of time? Is it a transgenerational thing, or are we fooling ourselves with temporary and transient accolades? Amen. And one of the things that Apostle shared and blessed my life last week, he said transgenerational impact starts primarily from a genuine encounter with Jesus. That's the basis of every kind of long-lasting and eternal impact. It starts from the place of a genuine encounter with Jesus. The other day I was in the house of brother and Mrs. Ojele, Shade Ojele and her husband. And we're just talking about, you know, reminiscing. I like reminiscing about how far God has brought us, because it gives me great expectation about where He is taking us to. Another reason why I like looking back at how far God has brought us is because you may not be where you want to be, or you may not be where you desire to be, but you can look back and know that you are not where you used to be. And faithful is He that has called you, who also will do it. So one of the things that when we were there and we were talking and we're just reminiscing about the faithfulness of God and how that God has brought one from back in those days, over a decade and some years ago. And I saw that what God is doing is standing the test of time. And it's not just standing the test of time, it is what? Growing and expanding. And I saw that the reason why it could happen was because everybody had a genuine, undeniable encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for where God is taking us to, and we thank God for how God has structured and is growing His work in our midst. But I remember those days that there were some people who overdid, in quotes, their encounter. I don't think anybody has ever come for Koinonia and spent the night in CGC. Protocol will ensure that it doesn't happen. A time comes when they shut the door and you go. Yes or no? Those were days when people will encounter the person of Jesus And the person that brought them for the meeting in chapel premises cannot go. Because you can't leave a slain person 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. When you want to go, they say you can't go anywhere. You are the one that brought this person. Until this person comes back from this encounter, you can't go anywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it wasn't an encounter. When the person is slain for 6 hours, it's not principles he's learning. Is it principles? As he's lying down, is there a teaching going on? His spirit is intermingling with his creator. Because there are certain things that words cannot bring. It has to be light. Is what I'm saying blessing you? There are limitations of the soul based on your exposure, based on your vocabulary, right? Apostle is a fantastic orator. Sometimes when he's talking, I will forget the spiritual impact. I just look at him and say, Kai, Lopezi. So the soul can distract you, yes or no? So these genuine encounters with the person of God and the person of his word is always the foundation. Because when you have an encounter with Jesus, your motives become purified. So it's not about, some people are following Jesus for what they can get from him. Others are following Jesus because when they felt the force of that encounter, nothing else can compare. Do you understand? And he said that transgenerational impact starts from an encounter with God that compels your allegiance. A time came when Jesus was on the mount with about 5,000 people and they were hungry. And he fed them miraculously, yes or no? And the next day they came again, right? Because if you have a free lunch and there are 12 baskets left over, imagine that after Koinonia, we serve food and 12 baskets, when they say baskets, those were the baskets that were used to feed the 5,000. So when you say basket, don't think that it's one small cooler. The 12 baskets, right, that were used to serve the 5,000. And somebody said, why should I go home and cook when Jesus will give me the spiritual word and give me the word? So the next day, I'm sure the crowd was plenty. People were not interested in Jesus, but were interested in the food. And then they showed up, and then guess what Jesus said to them? He said, except you eat of my flesh and do what? Drink of my blood. Jesus took it to a spiritual cannibalistic level. Some people say, Oga, thank you. What you are serving on the menu, we are not interested. Abi? And then they all did what? Left. But they came to see Jesus. But they had terms and conditions. And when Jesus' interactions with them was not palatable to their terms and conditions and their preconceived mindsets, they left. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, won't you also go? What did the disciples say? They said, to whom shall we go? You alone have the word of life. So their encounters and their interactions with God in the person of Jesus Christ compelled an undying allegiance, even in the face of uncertainty. Because what they were trying to imply was that if there was someone we could go to, guess what? We would go. But I've searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I've searched all over, searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Looked high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody.
I'm saying this because there are some of you, you have truly searched and you are following God in pain and in the absence of results. I told someone the other day, don't be in a hurry to prove that you have results. Don't be pressurized. Just make sure you have Jesus. Because if you have Jesus truly, the results must come. So a genuine encounter with God, the person of Jesus, that compels an undying allegiance. That's what many believers don't have. Please let's celebrate Apostle in the house. See, let your life and your appearance bring hope, life, laughter to others. Every time I see him, I'm happy. I'm just happy. Some of you, when you show up in a place, that's it. Don't be a father that when you show up at home, everybody is squeezing their face. Be a daddy. Oh, yo, yo. Not daddy. Oh, no. So we have a daddy. Oh, yo, yo. Please let's put our hands together. Amen. So I was saying that a genuine encounter with the person of Christ compels an allegiance that has nothing to do with performance. Your relationship with God is not based on terms and conditions. That's the basis, the foundation of any kind of transgenerational impact. Amen. Some of you have put terms and conditions on your walk with God. You will do yourself a disservice. You know why? You have placed a limit based on your limited mindset. That, Lord, as I come to meet with you, this is what I seek to achieve. This is what I seek to achieve, right? But the Bible has already established that the God that we serve is a God that does what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or imagine. So that means when you come to Jesus, you must come to Jesus for Jesus. Because no matter what benchmark you give him, so you can look at your life and say, Lord, I'm 38. Nobody has come to marry me. I'm giving my life to you so that in the next 1 year, I'll find one nice brother. Abi? What if God doesn't just want to give you a nice brother with a very small vision? What if God wants to give you somebody that will wipe away the tears of the last 38 years? And together you can pursue purpose. Right? And impact your world on a global basis. But you have benchmarked it. As the brother is coming, one car, bank job, salary of 250. Abi? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, a genuine encounter with the person of Christ, where you just come as you are to give him all of you, Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Mando bariyakata, banda bariyakataya.
I'm waiting, Lord, have your way.
One more time, let him know it's him.
Lord, I give you, I live for you. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way.
The next thing that makes for transgenerational impact, I'm recapping what was shared last week, is the power of mental transformation. It's been reiterated so many times that your reality is simply a consequence of your paradigm. Don't blame the government. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame anybody. Your current reality is a reflection of your current paradigm. What that does is it enables you to assume responsibility and stops this blame game and buck passing. It's a shame that as a nation, as a people, we have developed a culture of passing responsibility for our consequences to somebody else. And we believe once we can find somebody else to blame, it absolves us of responsibility. And it's a culture. If you notice it from the top hierarchy of government, I'm not going to wax political, but the issue on ground is you are the person on ground. And it's been transferred so that now, once they say, who did this thing, and it's not you, you walk away as if the problem has been taken care of. So, mental transformation brings us to a position where we come to terms with the fact that our current reality is but a reflection of our paradigms. And if we must change anything on the outside, something must first change within. I think that's why when you begin to walk with God and God begins to grant you grace to demonstrate the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of God's Spirit, God begins to place an equal emphasis on the development of the fruit of the Spirit. To walk in the anointing of God's Spirit and to exhibit the gifts of God's Spirit that compel compliance of external circumstances. So if a person is sick, you bring the power of God to bear on that person by the anointing and give him health from the throne of grace. Right? But you have a hot temper, or you are at that same time struggling with an addiction, and because the power of God is demonstrated through you, you think it absolves you of the responsibility of focusing that same power in you. That's why Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. And they were shocked. He said, in your name, we cast out what? Their emphasis was on external compliance. And Jesus says, no. That you could externally compel compliance implies that you could have compelled internal compliance. So, never be in a hurry to change external circumstances without first realigning your internal reality. to walk in futility. Amen. So mental transformation causes us to realize that yes, I may be genetically programmed. I may have inherited some physiological traits from my parents. And I might have been environmentally conditioned. But now I am no longer a citizen of this world. I am now born again, and as such, my reality must conform. My mindset, my way of thinking must align with that of my new status. Amen. The third point was the discovery and the development of your abilities and your value. Last week, Friday, when Apostle was preaching, it was like there was fire in me. You know why? That singular message, if thoroughly digested, believe you me, will exempt you in this life. It was as if I should go to the nearby campus and shout at all the students and say, whether you are first class or third class, whether you are studying chemical engineering or Arabic, this is the issue of the matter. If you want to exempt yourself, it was like fire in my bones. Because truly, the degree to which you have discovered and deployed your value and your abilities is the degree to which the impact you will make on earth will outlive and outlast you. Apostle made a statement. He said, this crude oil price slump has just revealed to Nigerians our true value in the global economy. Amen. So we have been arrogant, not because we as a people, I'm speaking, you know, when I say we, I hope you know I'm not part of that we. And I don't think you are also. But we as a nation have refused to develop ourselves. And so we are currently facing, the laws of God are just. If they have not yet whipped you, it's because God does not delight in the death of sinners. It's not because what you are doing is right. It's because God is long suffering. So he's hoping that you will realign before those things whip you. But when it comes to that point where it looks like his mercy is being taken for granted, his justice will kick in. So the ability to discover, develop, and deploy your abilities and your value. And he said categorically that your value is a representation of your worth based on the solutions you provide, the problems you solve, and this is the most important part, in my opinion, the lives you transform. You see, the current socioeconomic paradigms that we have in the world generally focus on the problems you solve and the solutions you what? Provide. The challenge with that is that it will restrict your influence to a degree, to a transactional level. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if I solve the problem of quality food, right? And I have a restaurant. There is only so much I can charge for that food. Yes or no? People have a band margin that by the time what I am asking for exceeds it, they begin to look and say, this is no longer valuable. Agreed? But a transformed life cannot be priced or pegged to a price.
Yes or no?
So emphasis must be placed on your ability to solve problems, provide solutions, and lastly, what? Transform lives. It's not to brag, it's not to, but I remember when 7, 8, that was about maybe 2005, 2006, 10, 11 years ago.
I had the privilege of being Apostle's flatmate.
Yes. I tell people all the time, the best thing that can happen to you is for you to be in close proximity to a man building something great.
And if you can't find that man, the Holy Spirit is the greatest of all creators. And he lives in...
And I remember that time we used to have these little AGMs. We used to call them AGMs. Where Apostle would make all of us sit down and appraise our life and take stock. And there was something that, living with him, he did something to me. Every time Apostles saw us back then, the first thing he would say, how are you? The next thing he will ask you, have you eaten? Always. And in those days, Aaron would testify. If he's not asking you, this guy, how are you? Have you eaten? He's genuinely interested in your response. For some of you, it's risky to say, have you eaten? Because if they say no, what's the next thing you're supposed to do? So if you say no, I remember that time we would go in groups. If we go to chapel, and then we would go in groups to go and eat. Either in Daula, depending on the quantity of people. If the people are many, we may have to just say, okay, Daula, just wait first. Then we'll go to another place. I'll not tell you. But it was still excellent at that level. But it taught me something. He was practicing fatherhood. And he was practicing how to truly transform lives. So a time came whenever we had those AGMs, we would jokingly say that you really can get married at this stage. Because over time, we've practiced the art of looking out for the lives of people. So your wife is not the first person you are responsible for. That's why many marriages collapse. Because the people have not had a track record of practicing the art of transforming lives. So their wife is the first attempt to transform a life. And we all know that first attempt is usually the worst attempt. Because you must make a mistake and then learn and then do it better. Yes or no? I'm just dropping this as a word of caution. Ladies, if you are the first person the guy wants to attempt to transform your life, just know that it will be a bit rocky.
So, emphasis should be placed on your ability to transform lives. I always say it. Scripture says, he that winneth souls is what? It doesn't say he that winneth spirits. It's easy to win spirits. Yes or no? I do a crusade. I do altar call. 1 million people come out. Yes or no? They receive Jesus into their heart. Yes or no? What happens to their spirit in that instant? They are born again. And I walk away. Successful evangelist. Abi, gather those people and mentor and transform them. That's when you will know that winning a soul, converting a soul requires what? Wisdom.
So you must train yourself in the art of winning souls, transforming their paradigms. Because when you transform a life, your reward and the impact that you make outlasts you.
Amen.
So master the art of transforming what? Benchmark yourself. Let me tell you. Whether you have a penny in your bank account or not, if you can count and track and make it a daily goal to transform a life. Have you seen some of these people that when they are getting married,
You just see everybody running around them. You say this person doesn't have anything. But by the time he's getting married, you just see people rallying around him. Do you know why? He was not rich in currency, but he was rich in what? Transformed lives. It's an art. You must master it. That's a statement Apostle said. He said, you are paid for the problems you solve, and you pay for the problems you create. So our rewards in life will always be in exact proportion to the demand or the need for what we do, our ability to do what we do, and the difficulty in replacing us. Amen. Transgenerational impact. He spoke about intrinsic and inherent value. So I tell myself every day when I wake up, what are the solutions I've provided? What are the problems I have solved? What are the lives that I have transformed? And God is very just. God is very fair. You may not have money in your account, but you have what it takes to transform a life at whatever level. Yes or no? Because going to the temple at the Gate Beautiful, Peter made a profound statement. When he saw the crippled man, he said what? Silver and gold I have not. That's a discussion for another day. Because some people are using that as their anchor scripture to defend their poverty. Every time Jesus encountered Peter, he solved his socioeconomic problem. The first time he saw Peter, he gave him a catch that made his boat to sink. Yes or no? When Jesus died and then rose again and reappeared to Peter, he gave him yet another, and then he took it to another level. After giving him another catch, the fish, he said Peter should bring it, but by the time Peter got to where Jesus was, Jesus had already prepared food. Yes or no? So I don't know what happened between then and that. Peter said, silver and gold I have not. I don't know. But he didn't end it there. What did he say? Such as I have. Tell your neighbor, say, such as I have. Now tell him, do you really have? Amen? Because people meet me all the time. I don't have capital to start my business. I don't have this. I say, you are not the first. It has never been a limitation. Such as I give. And today I will be, okay, I need to talk on the last thing he spoke about. An encounter with the anointing. I tell people all the time, show me a man that actively and daily develops his abilities, develops his assignment. So he's developing himself in the area of his what? Abilities. And he's developing himself in the area of his what? Assignment. And he's actively pursuing his anointing. I show you a man who will make transgenerational impact. You cannot, as a daily pursuit, develop yourself in the area of your abilities, your assignment, and your anointing and be irrelevant. It's impossible. Is what I'm saying making sense? So the question lies in, how much of your abilities have you discovered? How much of your assignment have you discovered? And how actively are you pursuing your anointing? And he said that the anointing is the ability or the capacity to produce change and compel compliance. Psalm 66 verse 3. That the anointing is God's seal of authorization to represent him. Amen. Remember the seven sons of Sceva in the Bible? Unauthorized representation. They had been going around casting out devils, and one day they happened upon an extraordinary
Let me tell you. Don't just mimic great men. You will get away with it for a while. Because time has a way of compounding your activities. Do you understand? God's gift, time is God's gift to man in the sense that whatever you do, if you keep being diligent, God will bring bigger opportunities. Do you understand? The person that is faithful in little, much will be what? So ensure that what you are doing over time, you really understand it. And so the seven sons of Sceva got to a particular person, and the demon spirits asked for their authorization. They said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? So every attempt to represent God requires a divine authorization. So one needs an encounter with the anointing. I can personally say that for everything your abilities can do, and for everything your assignment brings your way, when the anointing of God lands on your abilities and your assignment, it is amplified over and beyond what you can do. Because at that moment, it is God doing through a man what only God can do. I pity people who trivialize the anointing. They have pegged their achievements to the capacity of a man. So the best they can offer you is empathy and sympathy, which is good. Because empathy and sympathy is supposed to be a preview to solutions. Abi, you come and tell me that you're hungry and I say, are you serious? You've really not eaten? Wow, you need to take care of yourself. You need to be eating. Abi, as I'm saying it to you, what will be happening to you? You'll be happy, Abi. You need to eat. You need to eat well. Balanced diet. When last did you take fruits? Then when I finish all of that, I say, Toh, we'll see, eh? You now look to yourself and say, so why did he bother to empathize and what? And that's what many believers do. We empathize. We sympathize, and because we have failed to actively pursue the anointing and to grow in our ability to dispense this anointing, we are social workers. You know what social workers do, right? So, an encounter with the anointing. And that's why I thank God for Koinonia. Because for everybody who comes here or listens online with a hungry heart, we are privileged to have a place where God confirms His word with what? Signs that make people to wonder. We don't just enjoy the word and the wisdom of God. In this place, we have access to the raw ability of God. Transgenerational impact. Said the anointing is the empowerment to manifest the possibilities resident in God. That the anointing proves that God is both willing and able. The body of Christ today does not deny the willingness of God. Yes or no? The challenge comes when they have to defend His ability. Transgenerational impact will only come when you have mastered the art of placing a demand on the anointing of God upon your life. And he said that you can increase your capacity for the anointing. 2 Kings 4 verse 3. Oil stops flowing when the vessel is full. Remember the story of the Shunammite woman. Oil only stopped flowing when the vessel was what? So it's my responsibility to ensure I come every time before the Lord broken and empty. Regardless of what He has done in the past, I must be hungry for what? More. That's why I was blessed when Ragwinga was leading prayers and he sang the song.
I'm tired of the status quo. I'm tired of my status quo.
It's gotta be more than me.
It's gotta be more.
Who is hungry for more?
There's gotta be.
Hey.
Remember the mistake of the rich fool. A time came when he had increased to such a degree that he said he would tear down his old barns, he would build up new barns, right? He would store his merchandise in it, and then he would say to his soul that his soul should do what? Rest. God said, if you want to rest, rest is not for people who are alive. You can come. And Job made that same mistake. If you read Job chapter 29, where he was narrating how that God shined his light upon his head, and that, I think we should read it. I want to dwell on that because it's like the Spirit of God wants me to really. Job 29.
There's gotta be more, gotta be more. It's gotta be more than this. There's gotta be. There's got to be. I really need more, really need more. There's gotta be more than this.
Sing it.
I really need more, really want more. There's gotta be more than this.
Job chapter 29. If you start reading from verse... Okay, let me start from the beginning. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, and in the days when God preserved me. Media, if you can show it up. Yeah. I'll be sharing from here, but I want to be dwelling on two points that Apostle raised last week with regard to the power of mental transformation and the discovery and development of your abilities and value as a key or as keys for transgenerational impact. Because I want people to leave here tonight with a definite understanding of the things they need to do to develop their abilities and to grow in their intrinsic value, right? And to ensure that their mind, their mindset, their paradigms are properly aligned for what God is set to do. Job was speaking in Job chapter 29. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. So Job was ascribing his past, right? And his realities. And he was ascribing all that he had enjoyed to the preservation of the Lord. Yes or no? When his candle shined upon my head. The Bible speaks about the spirit of a man being the candle of the Almighty. Apostle said it last week. He said that what is the use of a candle in the absence of fire? So Job is someone I respect greatly. Job was saying that the candle of the Lord shone upon my head. You see why mental transformation is so crucial. He's saying God preserved me. But I can directly trace the preservation of God to what? His illumination upon my head. You see, that's why Romans chapter 12 says that I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. When you realize that this physical body is a conduit, is a container for divinity. Because from our understanding of spiritual laws and spiritual phenomenon, it is illegal for a spirit being to have sustained influence on the face of the earth without the active participation of a human body. Yes or no? It's a law in the realm of the spirit. If you want to have sustained interaction and influence on the face of the earth, you must either be in a physical container or walking in concert with a physical container. Which is why when Jesus wanted to cast out legion from the man of Gadarene in Gennesaret, the demons requested that they enter into what? Because everybody knows that law, which is why when Jesus Christ had to come to pay the ultimate price of eternal atonement, he had to come physically. Even though he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. For that reality to be stamped, signed and sealed in the heavens and the earth, he needed to physically show up. And there was no man that could come sinless. Do you understand? If God himself can limit himself to that reality, if God himself can limit himself to that law, right, and ensure that he requires a physical body, that's why we become so valuable to God. And that's why Apostle Paul said, please, make your bodies a living what? God wants to express certain things. We're going to pray. That's the first and foremost thing. Because this flesh is stubborn. This flesh is what? Stubborn. I want us to pray very quickly and say, Lord, this flesh, makonde baria katabalia kate. This flesh, berinda baria mara katabo sataya. In the name of Jesus. Said, by his light, the illumination of God, I walk through darkness. So one of the things that more than ever before, as you begin to press, is that the illumination of God begins to change your mindset. And the light of God's word begins to become the barometer by which you view life. As I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Next verse. When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. Because when you see a young man, fellow young man like you, making such strides, it can be intimidating. So Job was such an influential person that his contemporaries, why? The illumination of God upon him. The candle of God upon him. It says, the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. When Job shows up, even the princes say, this is not the time to talk. This is the time to do what? Because of the illumination of God upon him. The nobles held their peace and their tongue clipped to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered the poor that cried. Job was not even thinking about his own financial condition. He had passed that level. And the fatherless and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. That means someone was about to perish. When Job showed up, he changed the person's circumstances. The person just had to bless him. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, And the cause which I knew not, I searched it out. And I break the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. You see why the devil showed up before God and said, honestly speaking, I have really tried, but you placed a hedge. He says, when the wicked carries spoil, I say, no, bring it back. Then I said, I shall do what? And I shall do what? And that is why every time we come to this place, regardless of what you have seen in God, the day you decide to cap it and say that, what else is there? You make yourself open. So very quickly, we're going to pray. And say, Lord, because there are more possibilities in you. Because everything I've seen is but a tip of the iceberg. You can do more. Lord, do more in my life. Begin to pray.
Hallelujah. Let's keep praying. Powerful words. Transforming words. Lord, there are more possibilities in you. And I open my heart, even as your servant has shared, my heart is open for more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bless the Lord for it, Jimmy. Amazing, amazing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, let me tell you something about spiritual growth. The one who seeks growth does not choose his diet. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is arrogance to want to rise to a dimension and then want to choose what you want to eat. Have you seen parents force children? The child says, I want sweet. The mother says, you need pap. You see, let me tell you something. While I sat down listening to him share these things, I was only hoping that we don't get familiar and just recite it back, but truly believe it. It's painful to have revelation that does not transcend into results in your life. It's frustrating. Because no man can correct you. You already know what you need. But the grace to make it work. This issue of transformation, you've seen us drum this thing again and again. You know, I was almost, honestly, I'm just up here to lead us to pray. Because for me, I think that this, you will never hear it enough. It didn't take two services for you to get the wrong ideologies that are fighting your destiny. It will not take just a sermon. It will take repetition of new ideas. Repetition. 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 I was just thinking while on my way coming, I was saying, oh God, I pray that whatever is being shared before your people, they would listen. They would believe. Please hear me. The person who ever makes you think what you are being taught here is a small issue has cheated you in your small way. Not even an armed robber has cheated you that way. If you steal my money or you steal wallet or hack my account, you've not done anything to me. But if you make me think in a certain way and navigate my life towards destruction, you really have destroyed me. Are we together? People have lost their legs. People lost cars. People lost houses. They lost businesses. But something active within them reproduced those possibilities again. But let me tell you the truth. You can have everything but a bankrupt mentality and you will move no further than you are there. I'd like you to pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, this mind thing, I will give it no rest till I am radically transformed. Please pray. Never trivialize it. This is the key. Don't wait to listen to this message after 10 years of misery, 10 years of trying, guessing. Brothers and sisters, I tell you the truth, this is how it works. It is the key. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for. Affect my life, breathe on me. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what is happening to many of us. You are sitting in a destiny time bomb. You know how someone sits in a time bomb? When you keep pumping a balloon, a time comes, it cannot contain itself. The air you are putting in is too much for that space. And it will tear open. The sons of the prophet told the prophet, he said, where we meet with you is too small. You have enlarged our capacity beyond this level. Very soon, your level will start rejecting you. Something you are receiving, listen, is creating a reaction. You will not pray for it again. Something about your current level will start pushing you. Let me tell you how the pushing will come. It will come through criticism. Those around you can no longer stand it. They say, no. I'm pretending it, but now I can't take it again. New opportunities, certain things will have to stretch and push you. You are sitting on a time bomb. And let me tell you something. Many of you will be remarkably shocked. I get text messages from people who once had the privilege to be in this environment and be changed. They call me all the time saying, how can I thank you? Thank God I paid attention to this truth. When you are lost, it is wise to listen to someone who has found his way. You see, most people do not even know what they need to succeed, but they will argue when they are given the keys. It's pride. It truly is pride. Let me show you a scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse 41. What Ejimin shared just, it touched me. As though it wasn't me who preached it. 13:41, please. You want to receive maximally from Koinonia, be a child. Be a child. This big manism, man of Godism, throw it out before you come in. Be a child. When you are humble enough to be mentored and to be shown the way, your life will rise like an edifice. It says, behold, despise us and wander and perish. It says, for I will walk a walk in your days, a walk which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. I am doing something in a man's life like a trophy. And he said, a time will come, I will walk a walk, that when people hear that it's the same you, Aaron, they will say, no, which Aaron? Aaron that I know. They said, is Saul also one of the prophets? When Samuel was talking to him, Saul did not argue. He was listening. Because Samuel was representing his future. Listen. Not everybody is where you are. So, they were once where you are. Find out what was done to rise. Not every key opens every door. That you are holding a key does not mean it can open every door. Some of us have left certain doors, but where you are now, you have never been there before. So listen, pay attention. The key you have opened the door you already passed, but now you're in a new territory. You're in a new environment.
You know, while I was coming back from my meeting, I was just praying. I said, oh God, how predictable life can be when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is how I read it. If the Lord is my shepherd, if the Lord is my shepherd, there is something about the leadership of the Spirit. That you are filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean you have allowed Him to lead you. If the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. He makes me. He makes me. He makes me. He doesn't suggest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness. And He does all of that for His name's sake. So people just see me in green pastures. People see me restored. But they don't know that there is a force. But the issue is, are you willing to be led? There are many stubborn people who want to succeed. You hear them venting arrogance, flattering their mediocrity. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, what you are receiving cheap like this was not received cheap. A huge price was paid. You can argue this, but I guarantee you, if it is kingdom impact you want, after many years of confusion, you will return back to the same road, and God will say you would have followed it long before now. But now that you've gone around by yourself, a journey of 40 days can become 40 years, depending on your willingness to let God lead you. It was never in God's mind for the journey from Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey to be 40 years. There are many people who are adding trouble on trouble. Every time you disobey the voice of God, you multiply your pain. Every time you disobey the voice of God, you multiply sorrow upon your life. Listen, I'm talking to you from the depth of my heart. Please, don't argue with the things you are receiving here. It is foolishness. You see me talking my heart out because I do not want us to fail. When your Christian experience does not have the kind of result it has, it's not only God, men will curse you. Jesus looked at the fig tree, expected that within this time range, certain things should happen in your life. And the painful part is most of our loved ones are depending on this. This is what our parents ignored because the knowledge was not scarce. They ignored it. And we paid the price of their ignorance. And if you ignore it, you are transferring the same thing to a generation. Are we together now? It's very important. I will walk a walk in your days. You know, years ago the Lord told me something. The training that the Lord took me through was so stringent and painful. And I remember one time I said, God, why are you doing this to me? And He said, listen, there are different vessels. There is the clay. There is the wood. There is the silver. There is the gold. Do you know the clay can choose how much it will be transformed? You can actually tell God, stop here. And peg the limit of your impact. But for me, please don't stop. Please don't stop. Till I look just like you. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. Till I look just like you. God is doing something powerful in my life. God is doing something mighty in my life. He won't stop. He won't stop. Till I look just like Him. He won't stop. He won't stop. Till I shine just like Him. Listen. If you ever want to walk in the anointing, this is it. If you ever want a life of solid impact, you want to tame life as if the devil does not exist, this is the key. The predictability that God's word brings to our life. Nobody successful was born successful.
Even if he inherited it, he was trained to receive it. Nobody successful was born successful. Prayer point number one, we're praying. Father, make my life a sign and a wonder. I will not interrupt you. Don't let the pain, don't let the painful experience make me stop you. Regardless of what I say, focus on my spirit. My flesh may be willing. Are we together? Lift your voice and pray. Shabakata barada bakata. Through Joshua Selman, I will walk a walk through Koinonia. In and through my life. Hallelujah. Please give us Job 29 again. Let's go back to the scripture that Ejimi shared. Powerful scripture. Job 29. Please hurry up, media. Give us from verse 3. 3. Let's read down to 6. Just 3 verses. From verse 3. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Verse 4. The result. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of the Lord was upon my tabernacle. When the Almighty was with me and when my children were round about me. Look at the results. When I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured out rivers of oil. Read on. Continue. Now, this is what I'm looking for. Write down maybe to verse 10. When I went out to the gate through the city and I prepared my seat in the street. The young men saw me. And there was a reaction. What was the reaction? How can a man see another man and hide? The Bible says the nation shall see you and fear. There is a level you celebrate a man to a point you become afraid. You are like, no, this one is not, I'm no longer clapping. It says the young men saw me, they hid. The only person you do this to is God. A man can become like God. The Bible says they saw Paul and Barnabas and they said, these Zeus and Hermes. And they had to tear their clothes and say, we are human beings. What is it that God can do to a man that can make a man become like God? That your words become like God. Men have to advise themselves not to worship you because your life becomes so notable and extraordinary. It says the aged saw me. A young man. When an elder stands up, listen. When an elder stands up before a young man, it's a symbol of honor. An elder stand up. The glory of the old is their gray hair. But there is something a man can do that can make his father stand up. And he said, no, daddy, sit down. He said, me? No, not when you are here. Please hear me. There is such a thing as honor based on your grasping of the laws of the kingdom. That the aged can see you. You are young, but wisdom has made you old. Nine. The princes, you know the condition to be a prince? Trained in the palace. Trained in the art of royalty. He said the princes refrain talking. They laid their hands on their mouth. This is not what they did. This is what they did. What a wonder. One more verse. The nobles heard their peace and their tongue cleaved to. They are still arguing with you because your results are not notable. So when you say, they say, let's look at another angle. There is a dimension of the workings of the spirit through a man that will silence every accuser, no matter how arrogant they are. When you are anointed, rich, blessed,
influential. Let me see the devil that will argue with you. Listen, the Bible says, and Job, is one thing to be rich and not be anointed. They can mock you with the anointing. It's another thing to be anointed and broke. The rich can bless you. But when God decides to fortify the dimensions of your life with honor, no blessing can come from any dimension. Kabaratosia. Lord, turn me into a sign and a wonder. Lift your voice and pray. 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 Turn me into a sign and a wonder. A spiritual system that brings glory perpetually. Make sure you are praying. Turn me into a sign and a wonder. God's portrait of wisdom. God's portrait of grace. Shaba baba kataba la ba la ba la ba. Rekete kete mo shabara bos. Ebete ke shekete leketa. Ebrata la bara soto ba ya la ba la ba. Turn me into a sign and a wonder. Hallelujah. Galatians 1 verse 24. Galatians 1 verse 24. Listen. I want you to know that God is only glorified when the saints are glorified. I was seated here and I saw a Jimmy's wife moving, beautifully dressed. That's the glory of the husband. So you measure the responsibility and the honor of a husband by the reflection of his wife. Are we together? I want you to read that scripture wholeheartedly. One, two, read. One more time. Who was ultimately glorified? But who was the vessel? And they glorified God. When they saw the wisdom, they saw the excellence. When people said, nobody can rise, and then you rise as if the devil does not exist. Perpetually smashing records that men say this cannot be done, and you say, no, I don't know who the this is. But the Bible says, with God, without him many things are not possible, but with God. And they glorify God. I like you to pray and say, Lord, use me as a tool, as a trophy for your glory. Lift your voice and pray. Glorify God in Koinonia. And they glorified God. And they glorified God. By the result that flowed from your life. By the result, the track record of unending wonder. Wonder upon another. Sabarada katabarada ba. Rekatele katele ba. Shaparoto sotobash. Embre katareto sotekele barabada. Glorify God in me. In me. Sound and a wonder. Hallelujah. 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 And they glorified God in me. Away with that rubbish thinking that God is not glorified when you rise. No. And they glorified God in me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. This is our next prayer point. 1 Corinthians 2:14. God did something
a few days ago in my life. It brought tears out of my eyes. See, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear me, Koinonia. If you walk with God, you will never be ashamed. If you choose to be spiritual and you are not ashamed, see, I tell you, this man you see has gone. Believe me, this man you see has gone. I know what I'm saying. You don't hear me speak like this. There is what God can do in your life. You know this flight has taken never to come down again forever. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? They are what? Another word for foolishness is nonsense. Neither can he know them, because you must be spiritual to discern it. Listen, the things we do here are not intellectual at all. We break them down to give you the logic, but you have to be spiritual to walk with God. Many believers are too carnal to receive results. Are we together? We analyze spiritual things from a carnal point. Is it really true that by changing your mind, no. Listen. You have to be spiritual. And you have to be spiritually minded. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had set me free from the law of sin and death. Then he now says what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh and all of that. He says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There are too many believers that are carnal. Carnality is not just talking about fornication and drunkenness. No. Carnality is when you become so sensual that spiritual things look like a mockery to your intelligence. You are carnal. Go around Jericho 7 times. I know what many of us would have done. Moses, stretch your rod. You say, no. We have building engineers. You didn't go to school for nothing. Let's begin to build a bridge and have donation. Let me tell you, those who will survive in these times are those who, I know you are educated and you are intelligent, but brothers and sisters, you must be spiritually minded. This issue of saying, no, let's be serious, let's be real. Let's be real. If any man must ask me out, let's be real. I don't talk too much. So I have to do Facebook connection and WhatsApp and the rest. To be carnally minded is death. Bring all your tithes, all these pastors, they just eat people's money. No, sir. There are many people who are doing things that they don't really believe. It's not a conviction. They will only do it when everybody is around. But how you know you are spiritual is when you can do a thing supervised or not. Whether or not someone is watching you, you are tithing. Whether or not someone is watching you, you are... let me tell you, there's too much hypocrisy. That's why people don't get results. Believe what I'm telling you. Are we together? Listen to a message and transform your mind. Okay, sir. But you don't believe it. You don't believe it. And it never happens for people. Are we together? Wrong music, polluted music can plant seeds in your mind. Okay, sir, but we never do it. And so we junk all kinds of things in our spirits and wonder why the outcome is not. Let me tell you, those who get results are those who walk this thing genuinely under God. I'm not talking of perfection. I'm talking of sincerity and diligence. He said, now that you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Are we together? I like us to pray. And you are going to say, Lord, this my
this my scientific, over-exaggerated, analyzing your ways. Listen. God says, I'm going to bless you. But then we have to pass God through our scientific system. Oh God, show me how it will happen. God, my God. Hi. Have you not learned in the Bible that it was foolish things that brought extraordinary results? That's why Jesus said, until you become like one of these little children. I'm telling you, many of us need to pray for grace to become like children. This adulthood has punished many of us. We are not malleable before God. We can't be children enough to receive. Every time the word of God comes, it meets a wall of arrogant argument. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, spiritualize my mentality. I'm tired of being carnal. Lift your voice and pray. Make me a spiritual man. Let me believe your word. Please make sure you are praying. If you sing anointing, then I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be spiritually minded. Be spiritually minded. Be spiritually minded. Don't talk like a fool. There are people, when you hear the way they speak, it's as if they don't know God. You speak like a Christian and go back and analyze things with utmost stupidity. We are talking about God here. The currency in heaven is the word of God. If I give you 1,000, hear me. If I give you 1,000 naira, I say, go and buy me something. You buy it. In heaven, God gives you his word and say, go and exchange it. And the Bible says, let it be done on earth. So God gives you heavenly currency. Take it and you are saying, Lord, I know, no. Will it work? The power that created the heavens. His word currency. If I give you this, I didn't speak, but you take it to a shop, expecting a result. He says, so shall it be, my word that goeth forth. When I give you, when you say, Lord, bless me, he gives you his word. He says, if you take this word and believe it, take it and you will truly cash it. Listen, let me tell you, my Bible says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Many people do not believe the word of God. You see this man standing before you. I have carried this word as my life. It's not an instrument for preaching. I have seen it and believed it verbatim unto death. That's what has brought the results that you see. The word of God. Stupid statements from the word of God. I believe you, oh God. No, I will not argue with you. I don't need to know how it will happen. Let understanding follow, but my faith will believe now. Many of our parents have thrown the word of God to look for this. If I give you the word of God and I give you money, you will choose money. How foolish. How foolish. The word of God creates realities. Please believe me when I tell you this. A spiritual man is not a man that prays in tongues necessarily. A spiritual man is somebody who has submitted to the authority of the word of God to govern his life entirely. If God said it, Joshua Selman believes it. My goodness. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. This word created the heavens and the earth. My life is too small for it not to create it. This word, when you believe it quarter to shame, God will arise for you. This is what brought the anointing to my life. You see, let me tell you, many of us study the Bible so that we can quote scriptures and deceive ourselves. No, sir. When you open this thing and see things like, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. This is Jesus speaking. The works that I have done, he shall also do. Do you really believe it? He says, for by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. You can't understand through science. You understand through faith. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, everything you have spoken over my life, I believe. I don't know what made me doubt your word, but tonight I believe. Lift your voice and speak. But believe it. There is a blessedness of mockery. I cast away doubt. I'm a believer, a solid believer in a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is full of God's vow for your success. His vow. How many times did God swear by his name? By his name. He says your gates shall be continually open. That's what he said. Listen, look, let me tell you. When you want to get results, please, I beg you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stop running after men. I believe in destiny helpers, but it comes from above through men to you. It does not come from men. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from above. I will lift up my eyes. Take the word of God. Lord, you said this. I can't be barren forever. Your word said this. They say I have no womb. That's what they said. They are practicing. Your word said that my children will surround my table. Listen, we are becoming fetish the more we ignore God's word. Believers are becoming fetish because they are looking for alternatives to God's word. Anything the word of God cannot do, I assure you, it will not be done. Are we together? Please take seriously what I'm saying. We really need to become spiritual men. Spiritual men are word addicts, not word quotas. Those who live by the word, and even if they perish, that they perish with the word. And quarter to shame, you will see God alive to come and defend you. Jeremiah 1:12. Please give us Jeremiah 1:12. If we can get amplified, that's great. Otherwise, just give us King James. We are praying. Please, media, help us. Let's hurry up. Jeremiah 1:12. I want us to read it together. One to read. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. For I will what? Who will perform it? You are not the person performing it. So when God says, I will bless you, leave the dynamics to him. Your job is to believe him and find out how he, just find out what is your part of the deal. I show you a cheap route to results. Some of these results you see, let me tell you, I don't even know how it happens. All I know is God speaks. I am stupid enough to believe him. And I watch together with the congregation the wonder working power of God. Help me to believe you. Kill unbelief from my life. Lift your voice and pray. By now, if my faith were alive, I doubt you too much. Hallelujah. Listen. Whatever makes you to ignore the word of God, let me be sincere with you, is destroying your destiny.
Are we together? If you do not know what God has said, then you don't know how to commit Him. God is only committed by His word, not your tears. He's moved by your tears, but He's committed by His word. Number three, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9. We'll pray this and two more prayer points and we're done. But I want you to pray. These prayers will bring results in your life. I'd like us to read it. One, two, read. Oh, come on, read it as if you are alive. For a great door, an effectual, a door of marriage is open. A door of wealth is open, but it says there are many adversaries. And so what do? You don't discuss with them. You keep them where they belong. There is a warfare dimension of prayer. Listen. The warfare dimension of prayer is when you engage the spirit and you engage the word to establish victories. The warfare dimension of prayer is engaging the ministry of the spirit and engaging the power, the supremacy of the word to deliver results. You force compliance upon the strength of the word. So you pray. We are going to pray. There are forces sitting on the gates of our destiny and say, you must end this year like last year. It's time to dislodge them. Open your mouth and prophesy. Come on, engage. Engage the weapons of our warfare. Eternal. Koinonia, are you praying? A great spiritual. A great to the anointing, a great business, a nation, but there are many adversaries. I command every force to bow. I command every force to bow. Prophesy. Command in the name of the Lord Jesus. Destiny, the princes of darkness, I come against you by the mystery of the blood, by the mystery of the word, by the mystery of the spirit. Release my prosperity. Release my blessing. Release access. Abarata kato shokete baranaba. Emprata satata. Ekele koto shote kata. Hallelujah. 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 Listen. Hear me. Brothers and sisters, believe me when I tell you there is no victory without warfare. Anybody who lies to you, hear Joshua Selman say it. There is a place where you challenge gates. They are ancient gates. They stop your father. They will stop you if you let them. I'd like you to prophesy. Challenge you. Lift your voice and pray. To the destinies of men, I challenge you. Yeah.
that manipulate the thinking of people. Powers that manipulate you. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, release my destiny. A new level, a new dimension. Hallelujah. 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 We're still praying. Listen. Listen. I am a living witness that Satan can be tired. Are we together? I am a living witness. Breakthrough occurs when the powers that sit upon your destiny are dislodged. It's not by discussion. Hear me. Crying may help you, but it does not help your situation. Are we together? Listen. There is a law in the spirit called the law of insistence. There was a woman in Luke 18 who was pleading a case before an unjust judge. The Bible says he feared neither God nor man. But she said, revenge me my adversary. There are powers that have taken what belonged to you. You are going to stand before the parliament of heaven and say, God, you are not an unjust God. I place a demand. I place a demand. Lift your voice. I place a demand. Judgment. I place a demand. Judgment upon the wicked. They killed my dreams. I demand judgment upon the wicked by the fiery first anger of God. Hey, na 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 nesh. Hey, na 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 nesh. Rakata bakata ta 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 ta. Emprete kete kete. I place a demand upon the justice system of heaven. There must be judgment upon the issues of my life. Dislodge powers. Challenge thrones.
Lakata prasoto barita, enkretos useperetos, emprus kabarite seketea.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. 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 Do you know why many of us never get results? We give up too easily. We change prayer points foolishly. When you tell God this, is okay, God, I bring it down. Whether big or small, it will still take God to do it. Are we together? I'd like you to pray. You are going to force the door of the next level to open. Listen, no door opens by itself. You force it. Launch your power. Let the door be open. Lift your voice and pray. Lifting doors of greater grace, doors of greater power, greater unction. I command to the next level. I forcefully advance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we have two more prayer points. And for me, this is the greatest prayer point we are about to pray this night now. Are we together? The Lord spoke to me and said, my people need divine direction. Many people are trapped because they don't know what to do. Confusion is the sign that a deceiver is in a place. One of the indices of the presence of the Spirit of God is absolute clarity of purpose. Jeremiah 33:3. We are praying.
Lamb of God, we worship you. Shaparata katapratike. We worship you. Lamb of God, I worship you.
Listen. One of the plots of hell, hear me, one of the plots of hell right now against the church is to manipulate every access for reception of direction so that the saints are confused. Hear me, I'm speaking to you prophetically. One of the plots of hell is to manipulate every access that believers use to receive direction. Dreams, visions, prophecies, the understanding of the word of God. Are we together? Satan knows that your solution is in your direction. For listen, when I sent thee, lackest thou anything? When I sent thee, I gave you direction. I told you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Very clearly, when I sent thee, lackest thou anything? We send ourselves. We guess our way, we guess businesses, we guess job, we guess husband, we guess wife, we guess whatever. See, let me tell you this, that's why we pray for being spiritually minded. We are going to open portals for fresh access to the voice of God. Do you know a man can be grounded for 10 years because he has not had, and let me tell you something with believers. God has brought us to a place where if we don't hear God, we don't move. And Satan said, wow, this is strategy. I can take advantage of it. Since a Jimmy is bent on hearing God before moving, let me close every door for clarity. Have you seen three people bringing a prophetic word to the same person? Three different things. They are sincere, but it's a plot of darkness. And you are confused. You want to go into agriculture. You had agriculture. The next day, someone sends a word and says, sorry, are you a Jimmy? I don't know you, but I'm hearing God say you should go into aviation. Now, the person called your name, he did not know you. And at the end of it, we are left in confusion. The devil is a liar. No matter how he will masquerade it, my Bible says, call unto me. Listen, I will not show, you can guess to see any nonsense that you are seeing something from the realm of the spirit. Do you know, let me tell you, including believers, you stand the chance of being manipulated. No matter how accurate you are in interpretation, Satan can take advantage of the laws of the spirit and manipulate your vision. He said, what seest thou? He said, an almond tree. He said, you have seen correctly. A man can see wrongly. It doesn't mean you are demonic. There are ladies that threw away their husbands because the devil manipulated them into believing that's not their husband. And they sent him away. Are we together? There are people who threw away destiny helpers. There are some people, the devil uses the face of good people to oppress them in dreams. Have you seen people like that? A brother that wants to marry you, then he comes with a horn in a dream and stabs you. And you get up and meet a prophet and the devil manipulates the prophet. And he says, that brother has a spirit. Your destiny is closed because of manipulation. We laugh about it, but it's a dangerous thing. People are in hot water right now. Various places all around. We are sincere. We seek the voice of God. So Satan sends voices. But the Bible says, call unto me. What is the promise? What is the promise? How will I show that I have answered? I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, where is my job?
Where am I going to relocate? I'm tired. Today I'm in Zaria. Next tomorrow I feel like going to Kano. I just wanted to ask this lady out. In 2 weeks I've seen this one now. I'm confused. It's not straight. Lift your voice and cry. And say, Lord, clear this confusion in my destiny. Lift your voice and pray. Please pray. Clear this confusion. I call unto you. Give me clarity. I will not take a step until you speak. So speak, oh God, and let me know you are the one speaking. Hey, na 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 de. Call unto me and I will answer. Pray. Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I need direction. I need your voice. My next level is tied to your voice. My next level is tied to your voice. My next level is tied to your voice. Pray.
Is the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living God. Is the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. Is the Holy Ghost, Seal of the age to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are praying. I know our time is gone, but please give me a few minutes. We have to flog this thing out this night. The next prayer point is the grace to let the will of God be done in our lives. Listen, it's one thing for God to desire His will to be done, but are you willing to let Him do it? He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass over. Nevertheless, not my will. Let me tell you why many of us may never move forward. We camp around a dimension. Our wills are so strong, we can never say, Lord, let your will be done. It is absolutely spiritual to say your will be done. Lord, I know, left for me, I want to be in Lagos. But every time you keep telling me, Kano, I don't know anybody there. I'm tired of arguing with you. Let your will be done. It is spiritual to let the will of God be done. Lord, I have vowed that I must marry a millionaire alone. But right now, as you are touching me, let your will be done. I've said if it's not shall, I will not walk. But I don't know your ways for me. But Lord, I say your will be done. Listen, if you pray this prayer with all your heart, you'll be surprised at the testimonies that will come. Lift your voice. Grace to let your will be done. Let me not be the barrier to my next level. Let my flesh not hinder me from rising. Let your will be done. No matter how painful, let your will be done. No matter how pleasant, let your will be done. I submit to your will. I submit to your will. I may not know what it is, but I permit it to happen in my life. Let your will be done over my career. Pray. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Pray, let your will be done. Psalms 23.
Swallow your pride. Tonight, come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in his hands are the keys to eternal life. A little here, a little there, soon your day will dawn. He's at work in you, changing everything. Changing everything.
I like us to read the A part just before the semicolon. Are you ready? One, two, read. One more time. It didn't say, the Lord is my escorter. Let me tell you something. The shepherd is the only one who knows where the food is. The sheep does not have that level of intelligence. Sheep does not have horn. It cannot fight. Its only defense is the presence of the shepherd. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he says, I shall not want. The next line, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in what? Now, this is where these three words. He leadeth me. One more time, say it. Listen, there is a difference between guidance and leadership. You don't lead a man walking side by side by him. You lead a man by setting the pace. How will you like God to precede you in everything, including the doors that are closed? Let him walk to it first before you come. He leads me. For a man to lead you, you must have the submission to step back and say, Lord, if I don't see you in front, I'm not going. I don't care how long that door is open. Listen, many people ignore the leadership of the Spirit. Number one leadership is word. His word, his bond towards your life. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. In this economic turmoil, you can guess your way around. You can just go ahead and start frying fish just because you think you want to eradicate poverty and suffer frying fish because his hand is not there. Are we together? You can stand up and start selling popcorn because everybody is selling popcorn. And your own is the one that will kill you and punish you. Because copying does not pay. People are led. People are led. Are we together? Everybody's entering a relationship. You just feel, I think I must enter. The day you enter a relationship is the day your life scatters into pieces. Because you are not led. There are too many people working just based on instincts. There is a place for instincts. But I tell you, not in Nigeria today. Keep instincts aside. It may work in UK. It may work in Singapore. Nigeria's situation is a state of emergency. You must be led so that if you perish, you say, Lord, you said this. Let me tell you something. When you are challenged at the gate of destiny, your consolation and your support will be what God told you before you started the journey. So if he didn't tell you anything at that point, the devil will say, are you sure God told you? Every time Satan comes to people, he challenges the word of God. He told, if did God really say? He told Jesus, if you are the son of God. Whereas God said, this is my beloved son. So when it comes to you, he will challenge the word of God. I'm giving us very solid prayer points that will produce results in your life. He leadeth me. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, from tonight, I declare that I am the sheep of your pasture. Please lead me. I will not be a fellow shepherd with you. We are not two shepherds leading ourselves. You are the shepherd. I am the sheep. Pray. In business, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. In marriage, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. In ministry, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. In my academics, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. Lead me, O God. Lead me, O God, to green pastures. Lead me, O God. Lead me. divine direction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bishop Oyedepo, among the seven different mysteries that he's taught the Winners family worldwide that is responsible for their result is the mystery of divine guidance. Are we together? Yeah. And the Lord told him that if you are committed to follow, then I will keep leading. If you are committed to follow, so he can get into a forest and God will say, like he will say, this is the place. And he said, yes, Lord. For many of us, science is leading us. So they tell you, ratio of 3 to 1 or 6 to 1. For every one man, there are 6 ladies. Science is leading you. Because of that, you are in a desperate search. You wake up in the night, you are on Facebook, you are on WhatsApp, looking for everybody who is your tribesman, looking for everybody who knows your father or mother. It is an occultic way of trying to get your destiny because you open yourself to spirits. Are we together? Some of us is statistics and reports that 1 out of every 100 graduates is guaranteed to get a job within the first 2 years of graduation. Now that statistics, you can let it lead you and produce complacency and unseriousness. Another popular statistic, it takes 6 years for any business to at least be established. It may be true, but you have an advantage. Are we together? Divine guidance. Listen, you must make a commitment tonight to halt with everything you are currently doing that you have not heard the voice of God. I don't care what it is. One lady met me one time, happily smiling that she's preparing for marriage. As soon as she spoke, my heart was heavy. God didn't tell me anything. My heart was heavy. I knew she was entering hellfire. How I was going to tell this lady now, she won't listen. Because you see, when we are stubborn over our own wills, God will step back. He's not a demon. And I told her, I said, my dear, I don't know who consulted with you, but there is serious trouble. This lady did not listen. Just driving ahead like a train without brake. That was how she went. And the next thing, when she got married, I think it was like 4 months, she found out that the man who married her was actually married somewhere. An irresponsible and a stupid man. He came now, cornered her head, deceived her parents, lied over things he was not doing. Lied about different things. Lied about qualifications. Lied about where and where he had worked. And so on and so forth. And deceived this lady. She sent me a text again. God is my witness. I'm sorry to have to say it publicly. I didn't even reply. Because I didn't know what to reply. Sometimes, let me tell you. Don't say some things are better prevented than corrected. The correction will bring an eternal scar that you cannot clean. This is the word of God, probably for somebody. All this rat race of doing it in the strength of the flesh. Why don't you depend on God? Are we together? You see the funny things Christians do for marriage, for money, for relevance, after praying in tongues, 8 hours, 10 hours, dry fasting, we mock ourselves. Please, listen, let me tell you. If you are for God, stand for Him. If you are not for God, stand for whatever you are standing for. If God cannot open a door, trying to open that door is a big frustration and it's useless. The door will open, that's the danger. But not by God. And it will destroy you and kill you. Divine direction. We need it in Nigeria. Many people are flying out of Abuja simply because there's no national cake again. The question is, who told them to come there? And who is asking them to go now? Are we together? You may be running to a place you think is safety, but that's where the devil is waiting for you. And he will corner you there and destroy your life. You've had strange testimonies of divine direction. God said this. God directed me through His word. God said, take 3 days prayer and fasting. Say, no, this can't be God. God forbid.
God, laziness. God said, for 1 week, wake up by 1 o'clock every night and pray. But slumber, you snore away the key to your next level. That's why I told us, look, we have to be spiritual. Little instructions we used to obey before, now we throw it away because of science. Now, that doesn't mean you get up and do stupid things. No. The Spirit of God does not make you do stupid things. They may not make physical sense, but there will be a spiritual logic, and the presence of God and the honor that it brings must be upon it. Instructions. The key to your next level is in simple instructions. Do you know God can give you a simple instruction? After the service, just come and greet Sam. Lord, why should I greet him? You just come and greet him. At the point you are greeting him, you will stand close to somebody who is saying, there is a job employment, divine direction. And immediately you will apply, and God will wipe your tears. God gave me an instruction last week. Just 1, 2, 3, 4. And I mean, that thing has changed my life forever. Just a simple instruction. It's not in trying. It's not in hustling. It's in the word of the Lord. It's in the voice of God. Do you treasure his voice? One last prayer, and then we are going to round up. One last prayer. I believe in the anointing. Listen, I don't know how to tell you this thing. For every dimension of spiritual possibility, there is a grace that takes men there. Say, there is a grace. Say it, there is a grace. There is a dimension of the anointing responsible for every result. You are going to cry before the God of heaven and say, Lord, the dimension of grace needed for this testimony I'm looking at, it land upon my life. Lift your voice and pray. Don't be tired. We've just prayed for a few minutes. Pray. Lord, I need a breakthrough. But I realize that there is a level of unction that is responsible to deliver this kind of result. For the next dimension.
I have confidence in you, Jesus. I have confidence in you. Every time and any day, I have confidence in you, Savior. I have confidence in you, Jesus. Jesus. I have confidence in you, Savior, Savior. You're my master, master. Jesus.
Hallelujah. We're rounding up.
He will not suffer my foot to be
moved.
I may be a mortal man, but let me get extraordinary results.
Barada 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 barada.
mortal man, but embrace us with extraordinary results.
Suffer my foot to
be. Sing it. Sing that part again. He would not suffer my foot. I prophesy to someone here, you will not see shame this year. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I speak to you from the depth of my spirit. Every orchestration to bring shame and a mockery to the name of God upon your life, I declare that by a wisdom you yourself cannot explain, may my God turn it around. May my God turn it around. May my God turn it around. I pray for you. Every confusion at this level of your life, we bring it under the wisdom of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Any man who has said, let us see, may they see. In the name of Jesus Christ. The kind of result that will make even those who know you to ask you questions, may the God of heaven give it to you. Here's some results. Tremendous results. I want to pray just one more prayer. I believe in the anointing for ease. Listen, things do not have to be hard to mean you are moving forward. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Believe me, brothers and sisters, favor is a sign that God's presence is in a thing. There are some of us who are moving forward, but for every step, you pay for it. I want to pray for you. There is grace for ease. I have seen this. I know there is such an anointing where things can happen by divine pace, by divine orchestration. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, I don't know what you have struggled to achieve. I release upon you grace for ease. I release upon you grace for ease. From tonight, easy results. Sweatless results. Easy results. Sweatless results. Hallelujah. You will make a statement and the anointing will amplify it to bring results. Listen. Ease is based on a revelation that you are never alone. There are angels. There is favor. There is divine presence. There are destiny helpers. You have to be aware of all these advantages. Everyone shout, I am not alone. Say it, I am not alone. So stop doing things as if once it fails from your side, it has failed. Listen, I'm rounding up. I'm sorry for taking time. Just give me 1 minute. If I am in business with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, how many people are in that business? 6. If I fail and they are all responsible, will it crumble it? Answer me. Do you know that the equation of your life, God has put himself inside? There are many divine things. So that, I'm not saying you should be careless, but you are so secured that even when you don't trust yourself, you are still covered. You are only one over many factors. I'd like you to say, Lord, I trust you. I cannot fail. Say it, I cannot fail. Because I am not alone. The favor of God, the wisdom of God, the presence of God is involved in my issue.
Lift your hands and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, our time is up, but give me a few minutes. I want to make an altar call now. And then very important announcements. Please, no one's leaving. Let's all stand. Please, let's all stand. In 1 minute, our time is gone. But there are people here who are saying, man of God, I need to know Jesus Christ. I've been coming out for different altar calls, but sincerely, I have never taken God seriously. And by this teaching tonight and this prayer session, I am ready to completely surrender everything to Jesus. Others are saying, man of God, I need to rededicate my all. No playing games. I mean business with God. Please, in 1 minute, I like you wherever you are. Boldly make your way to the front. The devil is a liar. Don't wait for anybody to come. You are the first person. God bless you. God must be talking to someone tonight. Make your way to the front. Win that war tonight. God bless you. Someone is coming. I know he's not alone, young and old. Make your way to the front. Those outside in the overflow, those online, connect in the spirit, open up your heart. Keep clapping, please, they are coming. Quickly, quickly. Jesus is giving you a new beginning. Jesus is giving you a new beginning. Jesus is giving you a new beginning. Please double up if you are coming. Those coming from outside, don't let the devil stop you. Make your way to the front quickly. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. If you are still coming, please come quickly and join them. Those of you who are out here, I congratulate you. This is a great decision. Lift your right hand high to the heavens and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you and I believe in you that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I hand over my life completely to you. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I receive eternal life into my spirit. From today, I move higher and upwards in the name of Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. Father, bless these ones. They have made a decision. Let it change their lives. Let it not be an emotional decision. Let this be the journey to an extraordinary destiny in the name of Jesus. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please follow the gentleman just waving his hands. All of you, you have your details. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International, or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_ENI. You can download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.